Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Revelation and chapter 21. And the title of this week's message is God's Country. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Boy, I mean, it's just a wonderful thought about when this comes to pass. And now, down here on this earth, there's things we can enjoy, and the Lord blesses us to see the beauty of His creation. But we got to remember, we're living in a fallen creation. There's nothing that our eyes can behold here that can compare to how beautiful it was there in the Garden of Eden before sin entered into this world and corrupted it. And the whole world changed when sin entered in. And you think about this. You know, a lot of times, you know, we'll maybe see a beautiful place here on earth, and we're blessed here, living in where I live in this part of the country here in the South, but living in what they call the Bible Belt, and there's lots of churches and a lot of good Christian folks around, and of course we got our fair share of wicked people and everything, but we're blessed to live in these parts. And a lot of times you'll hear maybe some people use the terminology, "Oh, you're in God's country." You know, and maybe there's places on this old earth, you know, where people will apply that term different times, God's country. But there's nothing on this old world now that compares to what I just read about in the true land of the Lord, in God's country. That New Jerusalem that's going to be prepared one day after a while, we're going to get to be there, hallelujah. You know, a lot of times whenever maybe somebody's trying to get you to take a vacation, maybe they've been to the beach somewhere, or been to some resort or some attraction, and they've enjoyed themselves. They'll tell you all about it. Oh, we did this and we did that, and this was great, and this was wonderful, and this was pretty, and it was so fun, and they'll really build it up. Or maybe the people running the resort or the theme park or whatever it may be, they may put out a brochure and they'll show you the pictures and how that everything is pretty and there's luxury and all the just the fine amenities that they have and what all they have to offer and they'll you know, of course they'll quote you a price. The good thing, look how this said down here, this last verse in verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. This trip's paid for. Ain't that wonderful? Glory to the Lamb of God. Getting to God's country, the trip is paid for to get up there. And he goes on and he describes that beautiful city. He talks about streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and the you know, the just the beauty and the splendor of it all that's beyond imagination. And we, you know, we try to get in our mind what that might be like. But just not only that, but think about the atmosphere. Everything's going to be peace and tranquility, perfect contentment. All people think about, well, wouldn't it be boring in heaven? You won't be bored in heaven. There'll be too much splendor to enjoy, too much joy in your heart to be bored. That's just a silly, carnal thought. I like to tell people, go ahead and try to imagine heaven and how good it might be. People may think, I wonder if it'll be like this. I wonder if it'll be like that. And just have a lot of questions, and that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. I tell people, go ahead and imagine up a storm. Just imagine all you want to. And then when you run out of imagination and you have exalted your thoughts and your imagination, take comfort knowing that you didn't even come close, hallelujah, to how good it's going to be. Because Apostle Paul wrote and told to us, and said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has got prepared for them that love Him. Hallelujah. You might travel here and there in this old world, and people say, oh, this is God's country. And they'll talk about the beauty and the splendor. But then they'll also give a safety briefing. And maybe, you know, that you'll be out in the wilderness somewhere, the pristine, unspoiled wilderness. There's no litter and no pollution, but you got to watch out for snakes and bears and maybe up there in Canada or Alaska where it's beauty and beautiful and pristine. A lot of times I've seen them hunting shows, them old boys up there, they have to wear a mosquito net because the skeeters about eat them up. And them bloodthirsty mosquitoes are swarming all around them trying to bite them. And people maybe go up on one of them pristine lakes up in Canada to go fishing and unspoiled wilderness. And they have to carry a can of bear spray, pepper spray on their hip because of the danger of maybe a black bear attack. And also up there in the Rockies, you know, the beautiful Rocky Mountains, you know, people have to worry about the grizzly bears. And not to mention, no matter where you go on this old earth, where mankind is, anywhere where there's humans, there's danger, because humans pose the biggest danger to one another than anything else. You could combine every kind of danger, whether it's people dying from parasites, maybe, you know, West Nile virus, mosquito bites, or Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Lyme disease from tick bites, and you throw in snake bites, and bear attacks and shark attacks, none of that compares to the danger that men pose to one another. Look at all the warfare. Look at all the crime rates. How wicked this old world is. The dangers that lurk everywhere. It's dangerous going up and down your own steps. You can fall and hurt yourself, maybe even get killed in your own home. There's dangers everywhere. These hikers, they want to wear a high-top boot just so they won't turn their ankle on rough terrain. There's dangers everywhere. You can't even let your children play out in their own yard anymore because of these ungodly pedophiles that want to abduct your children and abuse them. Oh, what wickedness is in this old world. But God's country is not like that. The real God's country. Hallelujah. We can read over our parts of the Old Testament talks about whenever God reestablishes paradise with men. It said that the lamb and the lion, they'll lay down together. The lion, he'll, you know, and the wolf will feed, you know, lay down with the lamb. The lion will eat straws of oxen. Said the little child will even play on the adder's hole and not be harmed. Little youngin playing around the snake's den and won't even be dangerous. That's how peaceful and tranquil everything will be. Hallelujah. Here he said, look here. He said, and God, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. When God wipes them away, hallelujah, they won't be back. You know, around here, we'll get heartbroken and we'll wipe our tears, you know, and we might find a little comfort and work through our grieving process, but then something else will come along and we'll be crying again. We wipe our tears, and it seems like next thing you know, they're back. Something's wrong again. But when God wipes away our tears, they won't be back. And then it says, and there shall be no more death. Oh, praise God, no graveyards in heaven, no cemeteries up there in God's country. Praise the Lord. You know, you can drive anywhere on this old planet where men live, and they've had to bury their dead somewhere, the most beautiful countryside, and then there'll be a little country graveyard somewhere where loved ones have passed away. Oh, death is always always present reminder there of death. And it's always lurking. while we live in these mortal bodies. He said, "No, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Boy, can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Oh, there won't be no pain pills in heaven because you won't need none. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. There won't even be no aches and pains. Not even a stumped toe or even a splinter or not even a hangnail, hallelujah. Much less all these diseases and injuries that people's bodies are wreaked with pain with every day. You know, I work over to the hospital and I see people in pain all the time. Some of them's got cancer. Some of them's had heart troubles. Some of them's had knee replacement, hip replacement. You see all sorts of things. People in the ER needing to get sewed up. They've had an accident. They come in with broke bones. And you see them rolling them down to X-ray. You see all sorts of pain and suffering. There ain't none of that in God's country. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. There ain't no pain in God's country. He said, "For the former things are passed away." Praise God. Boy, we got some hope now. We got hope beyond this world. Praise God. Paul said, "If our hope in Christ was in this world only, we'd be of all men most miserable. But I thank my God in heaven. Praise His holy name. We've got hopes beyond this world. We've got hopes beyond the grave. We've got hopes beyond our imagination." Hallelujah. Whenever all this comes to pass, in God's country, no death, no pain, no tears, no anything negative whatsoever. Hallelujah. In God's country. Praise the Lord. And you just think now, if we ever had a moment of joy down here and any peace and tranquility down here, if it's possible down here amongst all this suffering and danger and toil and heartache, imagine how easy it's going to be at peace in God's country, where there's no danger. Oh, people talk about back in the 50s, didn't have to lock your door. You know, I remember when I was a boy, back in the 70s even, you know, a lot of times we wouldn't lock the door. Crime rate wasn't much to speak of, and it's already starting to get bad by then. But you think about God's country. Let's read a little bit more about God's country. If you just turn with me over to the next chapter, the first part of the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. And it says in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Oh boy, we're going to be right there in the capital. Praise His holy name. We're going to be right downstream from the throne. Woo! Hallelujah! Up in God's country, we're going to be right downstream from the throne. Think about that. Praise His holy name. I never really had that thought until just now. That's hot off the press. Praise His name. That thought just came from God's country. We're going to be right downstream from the throne. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Oh, that's wonderful. And that water's clear as a crystal. You know, you can go out in the woods. I remember drinking out of a mountain stream. But you know there's dangers with that. They might be some type of contaminant. Might be a dead animal 50 yards upstream you didn't even know about. And that bacteria would be in that water. You know, there's risks. You know, these people, these hikers, they got, you know, maybe, and campers, they've got purification tablets. Some of them's got other devices, filters and so on. I've even seen little ultraviolet lights that they use to purify the water because of unseen risks. Oh, there ain't none of that in God's country. That water is pure. And it says, "And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Praise God. Ain't that wonderful? Up in God's country, we're going to once again have access to the tree of life. Mankind has not had access to the tree of life since Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden and banished from there, exiled from the Garden of Eden, and the Lord blocked the way back, and they wasn't able to go. They was like a flaming sword. A cherub there had a flaming sword turning every way. They couldn't get back into that garden and have access to that tree of life anymore. And then, ever since then, all the generations of man that's been born of Adam and Eve, all of us that's populated this old earth, of course, most of them got wiped out in the flood. It bottlenecked back down to Noah and his three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Them, their wives, those eight souls saved on the ark during the global flood. And then mankind has repopulated the earth again since then. But they've not had access to the tree of life. But praise God, right there in God's country, we can read it. We're once again going to have access to the tree of life up in God's country. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb of God. Let's read that verse again. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Boy, ain't that wonderful? You know what? You could get brochures to all sorts of vacation spots. You'll not find in any of them where there's a tree of life growing. You'll not find a pure crystal river flowing. Oh, not none of those brochures. Oh, they may have a big roller coaster. They may have a 5-star motel. They may have a banquets and cuisine that is just all just delicious. Oh, but they can't offer you no fruit like this tree's bearing. And the leaves, that's for the healing of the nations. Oh, no, not you won't find that in none of these earthly brochures for these vacation spots. Boy, and they'll charge you. Boy, it's going to cost. But this is free. He done told us over in the previous chapter, if you're thirsty, you can have this water of life freely. Why? Because He's done paid the price. It's prepaid by the blood of the Lamb on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Praise His name. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Oh, boy. You remember the curse that come down with Adam and Eve there? She would have pain in childbearing. He would have to toil and earn his living by the sweat of his face. Everybody says sweat of your brow. Go back and look at it there in the book of Genesis. It says a sweat of your face. Oh, and something, the ground, oh, it received a curse and started bearing thorns and briars. They won't be no thorns, thistles, or briars, or nothing like that growing in God's country. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember my heart broke one time. My oldest daughter, Glory, she's grown now. But I remember when she was just a little girl, preschooler, running around out in the yard barefooted one summer. Bless her heart, she stepped on a thistle. It had a little bloom on it. Probably looked pretty. You know, when thistles have a pretty little kind of a purplish, violet-colored bloom. But she stepped on that and cried. Oh, it just hurt my heart for her. Of course, it hurt her flesh. It hurt. I didn't feel the pain, but oh, you know, emotionally, you know, I hurt for her. She said, "That's a sticky flower." It looked pretty, but it was dangerous. It inflicted pain on her. Oh, praise God, there won't be none of that up in God's country. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Oh, we'll be with Him. Praise God. We'll be with Him up there in God's country. And they shall see His face. Oh, we're going to have a direct access, tangible, physical access to the Father, to the Lamb, to Jesus Himself. We'll behold His face. See, in these mortal bodies, no man can see God's face and live. Moses come close as anybody, seen his hinder parts, and it made his face shine just seeing God from behind, but he couldn't have seen his face and live. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Oh, you know, you go to these brochures and they'll say 5 days and 4 nights you can stay here, and they'll quote you the price, you know, but it's a limited time. You can't go there and stay. Oh, we can stay in God's country. We can stay there forever. We wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Praise His holy name. But maybe you're not on your way to God's country. Maybe you've not made the reservations. You can. If you've never been saved, you're out there today and you've never been saved, and you're not on your way to God's country, won't you just bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask Him to save you and forgive you. He gladly will. The Lord loves you, and He'd love to have you. He's inviting you to come home with Him, to live in God's country. Oh, don't put it off. You know, it's sad. Since I started this message of preaching, there's been people left this world, and a great number of them were not ready to meet Jesus. They hadn't accepted His shed blood on Calvary's cross, paying for their sins, and His resurrection to give them hope of the resurrection too, that they could go live in God's country. And it's too late for those who have left unprepared. But as you listen today, it's not too late for you. So just come to Jesus. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, because He loves you and He'd love to have you. But the choice is yours. Don't put it off. And for those of you who are ready, oh, just keep focused. Stride forward. We're going in the right direction. When we get on this straight and narrow way, heading toward God's country. And until next time, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.